The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Atheists can apply their views in the public square, but we Christians aren't allowed to? I mean, this is absurd.
Next, James and Betty are joined by Jay Richards, Mark Davis, and Janet Porter to discuss freedom and responsibility.
Much like our Constitution, our founding documents, we're grounded. The most quoted book in our founding documents is the Bible.
A lot of devout people going into voting booths, bringing about change that will have a certain flavor.
A new direction, next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robison. It's a thrill to share with you. I've got some very exciting guests. We are really reaching out with all the love, the fearless, faithful commitment to God and to you to help you see your prayers answered, to see your concerns met, and to know that we have hope for the future. I really do believe that we are on a perilous course right now nationally. I don't think we're making the wisest decisions. There's no person to blame. There's no party to blame. But there is a belief system that has separated us from truth and has removed and discarded the principles that have enabled us to be blessed to the point that we can bless others, that we see opportunity for not only ourselves, but those we love. We're very close to forfeiting that. As a matter of fact, I'm convinced that people who care, people who appreciate the freedom and blessings we've enjoyed, are going to now have to fight fearlessly, faithfully, boldly, to reclaim what we have forfeited by lack of involvement, lack of understanding, lack of wisdom. That's the reason that Jay Richards and I spent a tremendous amount of time. Basically, this is the result of a 50-year journey of not only living and experiencing the blessings of freedom, but loving people all over the world. And I joined with Jay Richards by divine mandate with someone with some differences to come together to point at the principles that matter to people who have differences, to show that we can find common ground to address effectively our common concerns. You're going to hear a discussion. Get the book, Indivisible. Go to indivisiblebook.com, go to the bookstores. Not only should you read it, but every person you know that you believe cares about our country and our future, they need to read it. It really is the understanding of the times and how we can make a positive impact. Get the book. Someone asked a question with our panel of Mark Davis and Jay Richards and Janet Porter and Betty and myself. And then we began to discuss an answer. You're going to like this. Let's listen to the question. A very pertinent question. Here it is.
Okay. The term separation of church and state. We see that in the news all the time. And as a full-time teacher of liberty, I see the results of believers thinking that they don't even have the right to speak in the public square. So what's the most important thing that you want to convey to our viewers that about separation of church and state and why they not only have a right, but a responsibility to speak in the public square?
Well, I wish I could actually put the email on the screen I got from a lady this week and said, I'm a dedicated Christian. I just love God. And she said, I want you to know that it is idolatry to tell people to go vote. When you go into that voting booth, you are in idol worship. Don't do it. Can you imagine that? Now, that really is sound thinking, isn't it? That'll really help us right the ship of state and correct our course. That's right. No, really, that's the extreme, but that's where some people are. And then we've got a tremendous number of people who believe, well, it's the last days. We know how it's going to end. We know it's going to get worse and worse, and we're not going to be able to do anything about it. We know what the Bible says. Where did the Bible dismiss you from the responsibility of running the race that's set before you, of keeping the faith and fighting a good fight and fighting like a good soldier of the Lord Jesus and putting on the whole armor of God and resisting evil and be a light that pierces the darkness and salt that preserves the precious? When did you get excused from that God-given call and responsibility and commission to make disciples of the nations, which are followers of truth and principle? When did you get excused? Many people, however, in answer to your question, they think somehow separation of church and state means, well, they might be able to vote, but don't do it in a real effective way by being really knowledgeable about who you're voting for. Do it as ignorantly as you can and as manipulated as you can be, and then you go do it. That's how most people think about it. How do you answer that question, Jay?
Well, and we deal with this specifically in the book. I mean, most folks know that the very phrase separation of church and state is not in the Constitution, right? It's not in the Bill of Rights, not in the Declaration of Independence. It's in a private letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to this Danbury Baptist Church Association because they were being badgered and persecuted by some other religious groups, other Christian groups. And he was talking, of course, about this institutional separation of the state and the church. That is, we don't have a national federal church. The federal government, and thank God for this, Washington, D.C. does not force everyone to toe the line on a particular theological view. You don't all have to be Baptists. You don't have to be Presbyterians. This is what, James Madison, one of the founders, said. He said, look, if the Methodists try to establish this, they're going to be checked by the Presbyterians. And if the Presbyterians tried to make their faith the official national church, then they have to deal with the Catholics. And so we already check each other's ambitions. But the founders understood the reason they don't establish a federal church is precisely to provide the faithful free space to operate in. So an institutional separation of church and state never meant, and it was never intended to mean by the founders, a separation of the faithful from the public square. We can have both of these things. And in fact, I've never met a Christian that actually thinks his or her particular denomination should be forced on everyone else. None of us believe that. But what we don't accept is this idea that the public square should be scrubbed of all religious faith and religious ideas. I mean, this is absurd. So atheists can apply their views in the public square, but we Christians aren't allowed to? I mean, this is absurd, and we just really shouldn't be intimidated by this phrase.
And the law, and even in that discussion, one of the main points that was made was that it was very clear that the government is not to infringe upon religious freedom and expression. It was never intended, and this was in the discussion, and really a point well made, it was never intended in that, with that law, to protect the wilderness from the garden, but to protect the garden from the wilderness. We are, as the garden, supposed to affect the wilderness. We're supposed to penetrate everything, but we don't let the encroachment come in, and that is where the real problem is. How do you respond to that, Mark?
Well, it's funny, because if people do what you describe in Indivisible, if people do what the Bible tells us to do in terms of plugging into the world around us, fighting evil, bringing about change, managing the world that God has given us to manage in the ways that our individual ideology sees fit, you will see, if these guidelines are followed, a lot of devout people going into voting booths, bringing about change that will have a certain flavor. Mm-hmm. It will be a more pro-life country. It will be a more fiscally responsible country. It will be a country interested in fighting just wars to thwart terror. And that may have a certain political flavor to some, but it doesn't mean that we've become a theocracy. We didn't instill a national church that says, you must go be pro-life. People simply willed it through their vote. Nobody established a national religious policy that said that we're going to do certain things in the war, we're going to do certain things in spending, we're going to have certain priorities in the budget. They will simply have come about by the will of the people, a people guided by both books in front of James, Indivisible and the Bible.
Well, you know, what's great about it is the Indivisible book, much like our Constitution, our founding documents, we're grounded. The most quoted book in our founding documents is the Bible.
That's right.
And I remember I was going to debate an atheist, a member of ACLU, and there were some other folks who were against me. And I just remember thinking, you know what I love about debating the issues of the day? If they're grounded in the Word of God, that they're going to basically bear out what God says. I mean, if I didn't believe in the Bible, I'd believe the Bible just by reading the paper. Because when you follow what God says, there are blessings. When you choose death, there are curses. And you know, that's the issue. I remember the issue that came up, but they said, much like your question, the issue said, should God be allowed to be in the public square? One of the advantages of being God is you get to go wherever you want.
Guess what?
Right?
He's there.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. We're supposed to, as his representatives, we're to occupy until he comes. And that's really what our Great Commission is to go. We're to make disciples. disciples were to teach him, to obey everything he's commanded us. That's really what this is based on. That's what our founders are basing our documents on. And that's the joy of standing for what God says, is because every shred of social science research bears it out to be true.
Mm-hmm. I think the enemy of truth has actually overplayed his hand. I think the consequences of a God-denying, a worldview that diminishes the value and importance of faith, of marriage, of basic morality or even standards, a relativist mentality, everything right in the eyes of the beholder. I think that the consequences of that progressive thinking, that socialist mentality where somebody is going to take and distribute according to their own determination with the compassion connection totally removed, I think that it's revealing how ugly it is. Why couldn't we see it in the Soviet Union? Why couldn't we see it in fascist Germany when the church just kept singing while the Jews were being trucked and trained to the death camps? While somebody's promising to meet their needs and solve all their economic woes without building on rock-solid principles. Just vain promises and mere rhetoric. And beware of those who can just speak it well but don't have the time-tested, historically proven, confirmed principles of truth that are found in the irrefutable Word of the living God, the Bible. They're there. Plenty of room for discussion. Much room for application, but you can see the effect of applying truth to everyday life, to our society, our community, our families, yes, our nations. History tells the story. It also tells us that with great spiritual awakening comes the supernatural impact, the effect of that power, released in the lives, yielded and committed to truth. That's what the invitation is for us today. We can see it. It's not too late. It is later than most people think it is, but it's not too late. We can turn it.
Doesn't it come down to finding out what we believe, not letting someone else decide for us, but being informed? It has to start here in your own heart, and what you believe and what you've come to know and what you've found out through research and reading and consciously knowing what the candidates believe in, what they stand on, and what they're going to be true on. And then we go and we vote responsibly from our conscience, from our hearts. And then we can go away saying, we voted right.
You know, I've been watching you here on the monitor while you're talking, and I was thinking, you know, if I wasn't married and you weren't, I'd come ask you out. I just love the radiance of your life and the principles that guide your life. But I also know that even as I was watching you and knowing that I am a recipient of the blessing of God on your life, I think sometimes that I have not only stood on the shoulders of this beautiful woman. I'm 6'3", she's 5'4", and I've stood on her shoulders, I know that, I've leaned on her, but I really believe that in this blessed life we live, I think we could find ourselves doing what I think a lot of really sincere people do. They just sort of settle into the blessing of the beautiful relationship they have with one another and with God, and just let the world go to hell in a handbasket. Something a little bit different about our relationship, however. I can't help but speak the things I've seen and heard. You can't silence me. You can't stop me from witnessing. All hell can't stop me. The government can't stop me. Threats, anger, hostility, animosity. God has prepared a table before me in the presence of all enemies and accusers. He anoints continually my head with the oil of His abiding presence. You see, Betty and I just can't hide the light of God's blessing under our own little comfort. From the time we started dating, I was the witness. You went to hear me preach when we were just dating. And I've never stopped. We've never stopped witnessing wherever we go. Whether it's in a restaurant, whether it's a waitress, whether it's on a parking lot, whether it's stopping at some place beside the road. I witnessed to an alcoholic service station owner playing cards and drinking with his buddies, and I stopped with our 10-year-old grandson, who's now 22, and went in there and witnessed to all those men. The owner of the station got saved. It made the San Antonio newspaper how glorious the conversion was. Well, you know what was really fun was our 10-year-old grandson, every time we'd go on the road somewhere, he'd say, "Papa, every station we pass," he'd say, "Papa, we're going to stop at that station." "Papa, we're going to stop at that station." I said, "Luke, I can't stop at all of them." "I wish I could." You see, Betty and I have enjoyed this relationship because of a relationship with God. But here's the deal. The relationship's for you. The opportunity to know God as Father and to have a family, and the opportunity to be a light that pierces the darkness, to make a difference in somebody's world when they feel forgotten and overlooked, and that nobody cares. Many people are like I was in an impoverished neighborhood. I was the kid that moved 17 times in 10 years, and nobody knew I could run or catch or throw. So when the teams were picked, I'm still standing there. I'd just turn and walk away. Nobody picked me. One night, God picked me. Did I pick you? A lot of you feel overlooked, not chosen, but you've been chosen. God says you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're supposed to be a witness. Please hear this. This isn't just something from James Robinson. This is something from the God that loves you. You were born for today. You were born for this moment. A world changer. You can reach for the unreachable because you have the God to whom nothing is impossible waiting to take you into the shelter and shadow of His watch care, to be the shepherd that leads you, that cares for you and directs your steps. Would you decide to follow Him? And would you be a witness? And would you stand up? And would you be a light piercing the darkness? That's God's invitation to you. Would you be a responsible citizen? Would you make a difference for the children and grandchildren that you know and love? Would you see America restored to the blessings of Almighty God so that we can bless the nations of the world? As a part of the family of faith, it's God's invitation to you. You were born for this day. And you were. I was. Betty and I, all of us. We do not have to forfeit our lives, not one part of it, our land, our nation, our freedom, the liberty, the opportunity, the blessings that have been bestowed upon us so freely. But we're going to have to fight in so many ways and so many instances to get them back. Again, that's the reason that God really did lead me, command me to write the book Indivisible, Restoring Faith, Family, and Freedom Before It's Too Late. Who would have ever thought that marriage and family would be so despised or redefined or cast aside as unimportant? And freedom and personal responsibility and the privilege of all of us bearing the load and caring for others, caring about all of us participating, not creating resentment between people, loving all people. Who would have thought the capacity and practice of that would be so assaulted? Well, it has been. Well, you, our viewers, can help correct our nation's course. Help us go in a new direction by inspiring our leaders and our citizens to make good decisions. Let's do it. I want to show you one of the best decisions we'll ever make together. I want you to listen to two young people who have never enjoyed what we've been blessed to have. But because we're blessed, we can change everything for them. Watch closely. What are you going to do? We went back. By the way, those are areas of Sudan where we found 20,000 children where they were dying, like two a day, trying to get into an area where they heard we were going to be feeding. Because we were trying to establish these centers, which is one thing I'm asking your help for. While we're feeding hundreds of thousands of children that we found and put in other areas, we're now trying to open other areas there in the critical area of Sudan where they were dying just trying to get into the line. And so they said, now that you're here, what are you going to do? Well, see, the missionaries found them, took our mission team and our television cameras where we could show you and where we could see. And now they're saying, okay, what are you going to do? A mission pastor in Angola years ago, after we had rescued literally thousands and thousands of children that were connected to them, where they were burying them by the hundreds continually in little graves, and we had totally stopped it. And we went in where the pastor had all of his children in church, and they were singing, and they were so happy. And then I remember as we were walking away, the pastor stopped us, and he said, you're not going to be here anymore? You just came to see it, now you're gone? He thought we'd come, we saw, and we were gone. And we said, no. We just came to report on how positive the good is, because he said, there's so many more that are coming because they found out we're helping them, and it's changing their lives. And I said, we're never going to leave you. We're going to help you. Now, that child was saying, okay, you're here. What are you going to do? Well, you really are the answer to the missionaries. Are they going to be able to stay? Will they stay empty-handed with a broken heart? Or will they stand with a heart of love and hands full of compassionate expressions of your love? God's love through you. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Dial the number. If you've watched this before, you know what I'm asking you to do. Now, please do it. If you've never watched before, you've never seen this, please join. Because we've been able to save the lives of millions of children and lead millions of children to Christ. We just got a report from our missionaries. They have recorded 9.9 million commitments to Christ through the mission outreaches, and the doors have been opened there. Through the feeding, through the wells. Amazing. Nearly 10 million. We're winning people to Christ. We're expressing the love of God in action. Would you help us do it? Dial the number, please. Take your bank card, use it like a check. If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're sending it. We need to know. We need to let the missionaries know. Yes, you can open that area. You can maintain it. The love of God through His people will make it happen. If you want to go online, you go to lifetoday.org and make your gift. We've got some very special gifts for you. The Jesus Storybook Bible, the Side-by-Side Bible, to help you and bless you, as well as the bronze, the Lion and the Lamb. Thank you for helping us. Make the largest gift you can. If you can give $100, if you could give $1,000, I'm asking you to do it. But whatever you do, you remember this, 30 or 50, you're going to change the lives of 3 or 5 children. Make all the difference for them. Thank you for going to the phone or going online.
At this very moment, a child is drawing his last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like him face death as well. Today, you can make a difference and help save a life. In addition to the 400,000 children already in Life's Mission Feeding Program, Our teams have found a region in South Sudan with another 20,000 children in need of immediate life-saving assistance. Our mission teams are in place, but we desperately need your help to replenish critically needed food supplies immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll rush you the Jesus Storybook Bible. This beautifully illustrated book will help your children discover for themselves that Jesus is at the center of God's great story of salvation and at the center of their lives, too. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request our new international version and new King James side-by-side Bible with a two-column format for easy comparison. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online right now.
Eyes are the window to the soul is what the Word of God tells us, and yet what you're seeing today is lifeless eyes, the windows to a dying child. Because this child's dying for one simple reason, the life stolen out of its eyes and out of its body because it doesn't have enough food. And yet the answer to ending this suffering and this pain, the answer to rescuing and saving this child's life is so very simple. It's just you getting up right now, dialing the number on your screen, going online, and giving the gift of life, giving the gift of food to this child and to children all over this area that so desperately need your help today.
You will love the Jesus Storybook Bible. One of our guests said, matter of fact, a professor and a former legislator said that he and his wife read it, and he's my age. And he said, they find these stories so refreshing that every adult ought to read them, not just the children. And then the side-by-side Bible, what a blessing. And then I don't want you to forget Indivisible. Go to indivisiblebook.com, go to the bookstores. You can find out all the different places you can send people to get it or get it. And, of course, you can get it from us here at Life Today. But encourage your friends to read it. It's going to show us why we need a course correction. And we need to understand the direction we must go. Let's get the word out. Let's get on our face before God and stand on our feet for God. Thank you so much for watching, and thanks for your help and your support.
Tomorrow, a former abortion clinic owner uncovers the truth about the abortion industry.
Because simple math told me 40,000 abortions a year would make me a millionaire.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.